Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe them? Said heaven, boy, you can't go where the others go. You don't look like they do. Said hell, man, how can you stand to think that way? Did you really think about it before you made the rules? You said, that's just the way it is.
Baseball will never change.
You nailed it, brother. I'll tell you
what,
you nailed it.
That's the way it is.
I mean, welcome into a Monday edition. Fesco in the morning. Fesco is back from seeing other bad baseball.
We watched one game and had a nice time. Not going to lie. Very good time.
I'm Josh Klingler, still infatuated with relegation. And B-Dub, Brian Williams, our producer, in this morning on a Monday.
Can I weigh in on your relegation there for a second? I'm all for it. If baseball is willing to give everybody the same opportunities to compete, like if they had the NFL rules in place where they had a salary cap and a salary floor and all this kind of stuff to make it equitable, as TV deals, you're sharing all the money. Sure, I'm all for it. But right now, man, like I listened to Vern's post game yesterday and people are losing their minds. Right. It was so funny.
Yeah.
They're looking for anything. One guy called up yesterday and said they need to look at the hot zone, cold zone, and throw more to the blue colors on the right. We got that.
I don't disagree with that one either.
And then one woman called up yesterday and was wondering aloud if Mike Matheny reads the scouting reports on the pitchers, you know, if he looks at what they're capable of doing. And, you know, so that's where we are, Josh, right? We're at meltdown mode. And, you know, I'm listening to all this and after a couple of days in Miami talking with, you know, Marlins fans and people down there, you come to the realization, like, we can sit here and demand firings and demand cuts and this guy needs to go and that guy needs to go and John Sherman needs to do this and John Sherman needs to do that. At the end of the day, this is the sport, folks. This is the way the sport is devised. You're going to not have an opportunity when you're in a market like Kansas City. And that's why, again, I hate to keep going back to 14 and 15. But small market teams just don't win in this game. It's not designed for the small market, small revenue teams. Even a place like Miami, it's not even designed for a place like that that has all the money in the world that people just throw up in the air for no reason down there. It's not even designed for a team like that. It's just absolutely deplorable to see the way baseball is. And I think the lockout, more so than anything, turned people off even more to baseball than where it is, because at least people thought, oh, maybe if they have a lockout, things will get better for fans in smaller markets and we'll have more of an opportunity. It got worse for teams in Kansas City. And so, like, I people are like, you need to scream and yell about the Royals and rant about them. No, I don't. I really don't, because there's nothing that the Royals can do for the most part that they're not already doing that baseball allows them to do. It's the way the sport's set up. The way the sport is set up is going to ultimately kill this sport, and it's going to cause more and more people to get less interested in baseball. And as more and more things come online, Josh, of things to do, whether it's, you know, a big event or something like that in town, less and less entertainment dollars are going to go towards the sport of baseball. And that's really sad because it's my favorite sport. But right now the sport is being crippled by above. It's not being crippled by bad operations with the Royals or bad operations with the Pirates. It's the sport. The sport is destroying itself. It's eating itself from the inside. And there doesn't seem to be a point of any return right now. And it sucks because of what happened yesterday and what's happened this season with the Royals. But at the end of the day, this is the system that we got. This is the system the players agreed to. This is what they were locked out for 100 days for, and it got worse. It got no better than where it is right now. Until baseball is willing to look in the mirror and say, we suck, there's nothing we can do and nothing we can do to get upset with about our hometown baseball team. They're really behind the eight ball the whole time.
But
you got to throw a strike.
They know. Like, Dayton Moore came out with us last week and said, we know, in a market like this, our job is to develop players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. They know. It's not like it's a secret. And they're not throwing up their hands and going, well, they're understand the system they're in, so they have to try to have success within their parameters.
Right. Right.
They have to develop players.
They do.
And players have to play well.
Mm-hmm.
The tough part is everything has to break right. That's the lack of a fine or a broad area for missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no room for error. No,
everything has to go well for this team to win a game.
Right. Absolutely. No, you're right about that. I mean, you need a shutout from Brady Singer for 7 innings, and then you need your bullpen to throw strikes, and you need to score 8. You really do. You're right. Everything.
It is amazing how they have no margin.
Yeah, no margin.
None.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to break perfect, or they don't win games.
Right.
And they make winning games look very, very hard.
Very hard. It's a hard thing to watch right now, and it's very difficult to watch this team, and it's very difficult to watch the whole game of baseball. Really, I mean, unless you're a fan of, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees or something like that, I don't know how you're sitting down every night and watching this sport in a market like Kansas City or Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. I mean, we're talking about the Pittsburgh game, 18-4 they lost yesterday.
I'm not.
Yeah,
message
no,
to baseball.
You're not, you're not. You're not the only one, Josh. I mean, like I said, we were down in Miami, and you talk to people. You know, you're at the, you know, and everybody has the same issues right now with this sport. But the sport isn't willing to look at itself because in the mirror and say, how do we get better? They're just not.
Because if I was paying attention to too much of it, I'd be like the postgame callers.
You're right. You would
and
be.
Going batty.
Yeah.
And that, that ain't healthy.
Right. No, it's not. I mean, like, again,
I would be screaming and ranting and whatever.
Yeah.
I've taken a breath. You take a breath.
Yeah.
You dial in, you dial out, you enjoy
couple
the good.
Couple innings here, couple innings there. You dialed out after Brady Singer yesterday.
You foresee the bad.
I mean, you could see it coming a million miles away yesterday. As soon as it got to like 6-2 in the eighth inning, I'm like, oh, they're going to lose this thing. I mean, you just felt it coming, and you felt the whole team just know it was coming. I mean, we're at the quarter point of the season. They're barreling towards 100 losses. There's probably going to be more 100-loss teams this year in baseball than we've ever seen before in one season.
They're only a fourth of the way in. That's miserable to me.
Yeah. That's right. We're like, at the quarter point of the season. We're through the first quarter of the season.
How much can you take?
Right. I mean, when do you just say, I'm out? I'll see you at OTAs on Tuesday, you know?
Or just go to the game and just enjoy.
And enjoy baseball. Enjoy
the outside and there's baseball, and just can't even sweat the winning and losing, because it's really amazing how everything needs to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And if one thing gets... cooked.
And that's all it is, too, that's it. No more. That's it. Just a little opening, you know, for the opposition to kind of barrel way through, and they did yesterday.
Like yesterday, the bullpen, like, I'd rather you gotten hit hard, like really hard, rather than let's go up there and kind of
nibble,
dabble around the plate.
Throw a damn strike.
Throw it low and throw it high and wait for the umpire to decide whether or not things are straight. Just throw it down the middle really hard and see what happens.
Right. Throw a strike.
That was excruciating.
I was telling you guys, I turned on.
Especially after Singer, who you know
was brilliant
had his
yesterday.
Struggles.
He's been fantastic.
Came back.
He was great.
Looks like he's, you know, like the perfect, like everything you want.
Yeah.
Failed. Went away. Learned some things. Got a couple things. Listened to a message, I think part of it is listening
to
a message.
Yeah, sure
right?
did. Yeah.
Comes back. Does that. Looks fantastic. Hands it over to, reportedly, the strength of your pitching.
Who's saying the bullpen's the strength? It's the worst bullpen in the American
League.
Well,
I mean,
right now.
Going into the season, though, you thought, okay, well, at least you can rely on the back, like the back two of the bullpen.
Okay, yeah, sure. Who was that again?
Barlow and Staumont.
They do.
And there was one more that Vern, then we're like, okay, sure.
So yeah, sure, said, whatever. I think he did say that Clark guy was supposed to be pretty good, right? He stunk yesterday, too.
And then yesterday you turn it over. Okay, you're getting a little bit of a jam, but you turn it over to your guy for 2 innings, and he's no good.
All you have to do is get 6 more outs.
And then you bring in the next guy,
right? Yeah.
And he's no good. And yeah, everything needs to line up. It's infuriating.
I mean, it was yakety saxian yesterday coming out of the bullpen. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was bad, you know, yesterday coming out of the bullpen. And I was telling you guys before the show, I turned on the Giants Padres for a little bit yesterday, just because for whatever reason, I wanted to listen to their announcer. And they got good microphones in San Francisco and a great crowd. It's full crowd. So it's not like there were five people there. But I hear the catcher walk out. He's the Giants catcher walks out to the mound like the fifth or sixth inning, whatever it was. They were up like 9-1, 8-1. And the catcher goes, "We got a 7-run lead. Would you throw a strike?" and you can hear at the microphone. Yeah. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's just unbelievable. That's brilliant." And that's kind of what it was like yesterday. Would you just throw a damn strike, man? Stop trying to nibble on the corner of the plate or whatever it is. Or, you know, when I watch pitchers go up there and I see them nibble like we saw yesterday, that tells me that they don't have confidence in themselves. And if you don't have confidence in yourself and you don't have the ability to believe that you're going to get somebody out, well, you're cooked on the mound and your entire team is cooked at that point in time. And that's the way I kind of viewed it yesterday. You know, with this bullpen, it was like, are you afraid to throw a strike? I mean, really, are you yellow? Because that's what it looks like. You're afraid to go out there and throw a strike. And that's where I, you know, take umbrage with yesterday. And if you want to have, we got to blame somebody here. Yeah, fine. We can blame the bullpen for not throwing strikes. They stink. But the overriding theme of baseball right now, Josh, and I'm not just talking about today or tomorrow or the next day or this year or next year. I'm talking about the overall game. The overall game is going right down the pooper right now. And that is something that Major League Baseball doesn't seem to understand is happening right before their eyes. Fan bases in markets that aren't New York and LA are falling off like it's nobody's business. They're going away. They're not paying attention. They're checked out. And you can have, you know, it's like a mall. You can have Macy's and Sears at one end or the other, and they do great. But if every tenant in the middle isn't doing any business, the mall isn't going to stay in business because all of those businesses are going to shut down. So Sears and Macy's are doing great right now. The Yankees, oh my goodness, the Mets, yay, the Dodgers, yay. And then everybody else in the middle, your Spencer Gifts, your Sam Goodies, your Gap, like everything in the middle of the mall, your, what was it, Hickory Farms, you know, all the kiosks in the middle.
Hickory Farms.
Hickory Farms, merry-go-round, yes. Like, you know, all of those great stores that we loved when we were kids, they all started to slowly go out of business because people found other things and other ways. And the malls are, there's not a mall available to anybody right now. Maybe Oak Park on a Tuesday and Independence Center on a Wednesday. And other than that, all the malls are now vacant land. They've all been torn down. Look at Indian Springs Mall. Look at Metcalf South. They're all gone. Baseball is a mall right now that is being dominated by its anchor tenants, and everything else in the middle is failing right now. And until they figure out ways to prop up Hickory Farms, man, that mall's going to go kaput. And that's where baseball's headed. They are headed the way of the mall, disappearing.
Oh, it smelled good at Hickory Farms.
Hickory Farms was great. I mean,
because when even Sears goes, you're sunk.
Yeah, and oh, Sears is always the last one to go because they got good tools.
And,
right?
They were gone.
And they were gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
You at least get your car fixed, get some tools, get some Husky jeans.
Yeah, they're gone too now.
That's what happens. And so that's what's going to happen. And I hate to say that because, again, it's my sport. But there are tastes that are changing in America right now. People are finding other things to do. People like big-time events. People like to be at things that are like once in a lifetime type stuff, like the Formula One race in Miami. Everybody was still talking about that 2 weeks later. It's an amazing event. They loved it. It was fantastic. It was great. That's where they spent their money. There's 5,000 at a Marlins game right now. The Royals right now, they're lucky we don't have Formula One races. We don't have a beach. We don't have the mountains here right now. They can still get people to go to their games, but that's going to dwindle. That's going to dwindle really, really fast. And Major League Baseball is facing a mall crisis, and they don't realize it, and they don't care. Hickory Farms is going out, man, and soon Sears will be going with them because we've seen it right before our eyes.
I used to like baseball, and I used to like the foam airplane that they threw in the middle of the mall back and forth.
Oh, remember that thing?
And it would come back to you.
And then you'd get it home, and it would never work.
I don't want that now. I don't want baseball.
Yeah, you're finding other things to do. Baseball's in crisis mode right now, and they've got to fix it. And until they're willing to fix their game, there's nothing we can do here in Kansas City.
They're going
to
go down like a giant foam airplane.
Yep.
The Melvin Ingram alternative did go for much more money. We'll discuss next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 to hear from Royals skipper Mike Matheny on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bob brought up the mall reference, your favorite old school mall stores, 93-576-7610.
You can roll those Castle. In. Aladdin's Castle was always one of the best. Yeah. Now I got to open the text line that Binkley got so warped on the other day.
This is stuck on trains.
Yeah, like okay. I told you, told Talk me the train rail. Story. I'll just say this. I just get this out of my system while I can. The rail is alive and well. If you play baseball or softball out at Mid-America on Johnson Drive, you know the rail is alive and well in the United States of America.
I took two pictures of rails for Binkley this weekend.
Good. Yeah, got to get
Talk rail. Yeah. Talk rail.
Yeah, so which are your great stores? Yeah, which are the great stores in the mall that you used to like to go to? Sam Goody, because Goody got it, baby.
Goody got it.
They always got
Spencer's.
It. Spencer's gift was always good.
Never bought really
you
anything
never
there.
Did
no,
you?
No, I just
you wonder why
in.
They went out of business.
I was in that store all the time, though.
Yeah.
All
that
the time.
Shirt,
all
I
the
want
time.
That shirt.
There was a time, though, where my mother wouldn't let me go into Spencer's gift. You're not going to go into that store.
It was kind of a...
Why? Because the
nothing but filth.
Yeah, because they're selling fake
poo. It was
kind
of the home of the devil for a while.
It was there, but that was
the... It was
the
portal.
Yeah.
The portal.
It really was the devil home for a while there, but they weren't doing anything, I guess, back in the 80s, selling fake dog poop and mugs that had, you know, whatever on them. Like that was, oh, my God, we can't be doing that. You'll never go into Spencer Gift. You'll stay away from there. Oh, okay, because now I want to go into Spencer Gift, right? Now you want to walk in there and go... They're selling mugs that say "World's Greatest Boss" and Michael Scott's buying them all. Like, it wasn't like it was that big a deal back in the day. Very mild, comparatively speaking, to what it is, you know, what we could have in stores today, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sam Goody was always good. I did like merry-go-round. That's where I got my Cavaricci's.
Cavaricci.
Yeah, brother, $75 for a pair of pants back then was a lot.
Yes.
Sunglasses Hut, got my first pair of Oakleys at one of those after my first job, $75. Lost them about a week later. That didn't work so much. But
West. Most of my apparel came out of
from Jeans West.
West,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And the old school Gap before it was what it is today. There was no Old Navies or anything like that or Target. You know, you went to the mall, man. You had yourself a day. And you did sample Hickory Farms. And you guys can talk about the meat and cheese. The strawberry candies were what I love most about Hickory Farms.
Wow.
You know, the hard outside, juicy inside
center. Looked like a strawberry.
Looked like the strawberry wrapper. That's a good candy. Yeah. That's a good candy.
Sbarro's
another. Yeah. So see, in New Jersey, though, we had local pizzerias, right? Like Vinny's, you know, Vincent's was our Maria's. Maria's used to fry the calzone, too. I've told you about Maria's frying the calzone. Instead of baking the calzone, they deep fat fry the calzone. That son of a gun was good.
Fun Factory has come up a few times on the text line, 913-576-7610. Mm-hmm. Camelot music. Yeah, any of the music stores, right? Music Land. Yeah.
Yeah. The Wiz. Nobody
I'll never forget Mr. Bulky, someone says.
Man, get all the candy in the world.
All the cavities. That's really good.
Yeah. All the cavities, Mr. Bulky. And then, of course, the food court, Orange Julius. Who could forget like a good Orange Julius? Like, I know they're combined. Are they combined with Dairy Queen right now? It's still not the same.
No, you can't
get a good Orange Julius like you used to at the mall. And then the movie theaters were in the mall, too. You go in there, you watch.
AMC used to be in there.
Yeah. Go in there, watch a movie, get an Orange Julius, get the bottomless bucket of popcorn, and I mean, you know, you were on. You had a day at the mall, baby, especially when it was raining out. That was the place to go.
One of my fondest memories from the mall days, back in Iowa, was Kennedy Mall was the name of our
Kennedy?
Mall.
Kennedy? Were you a mall rat?
It was named after John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I heard the loudest fart I've ever heard.
Really?
Ever, still to this day.
In the mall.
When I was probably about 14 years
old. Who was it?
Some fat guy waiting for the bus.
Was it outside or inside?
Inside.
Okay.
It was literally, I thought it was like a wall cloud of, like, yeah. You know, when the wind blows
Could
or whatever.
Could you smell it, or was it just a noise?
No,
one?
Just the noise.
Okay, you're lucky.
The Kennedy Mall had those plastic benches. They were hollowed out, you know, they used to make that stuff like that. It was like hollow plastic.
Yeah, sure.
And like it was smooth on one side, but if it broke, it had like a textured finish. I don't know what it was. Something
like that fiberglass type finish.
Yeah, it was like a fiberglass.
Fiberglass,
boat,
yeah.
But they had fiberglass benches.
Mm-hmm. And this...
And we had it was like a plus mall, you know, like had like four.
Oh, it was a plus sign.
It looked like
a plus sign.
Yeah, okay. like a plus sign, right? So you had like four alleys.
Yeah.
And I just remember
Hickory Farms right in the center.
Merry-go-round. No, this one didn't have a merry-go-round. It had a fountain, I believe, in the middle.
Maybe a fountain
that's
if you
where
were
Santa,
lucky.
That's where you saw Santa.
Right.
And this guy was we saw him when we walked in, okay? And he was kind of lumpy guy. Butt was probably partially hanging out. Sitting on the bench,
and
we get like three quarters of the way down the hallway, and I mean it's just a, and the sound. I just remember the sound just vividly. It just goes down the hallway.
Oh no!
And like people are running, they're scattering. This is it's the loudest fart I've ever heard, and we're like, we know exactly who this is. Wheel around, turn around. And the guy gets up, and adjusts his pants. Walks out the door and gets on the bus.
Oh, that is good.
Crop dusted the whole mall.
That is really good.
I swear it was just a sound that just came flying down this hallway, and you ran for cover.
Yeah.
And to this day, I think it's the loudest fart I've ever heard.
Did you know the guy at Kennedy Mall?
No.
Because somebody's texting in about the Kennedy Mall right now. Yeah. There was an old movie theater that was always perfect for sneaking into. Did you ever sneak into the movie theater?
At Kennedy Mall?
Yeah, next to the Kennedy Mall.
I must not have. There was a movie theater by there, yes.
But you never snuck in. I never snuck into the movie theaters, no.
But to this day, I contend it's the loudest fart I've ever
heard. Loudest fart you've ever heard. 913-576-7610.
I'd like to see that man again. Like, I mean, I'm sure
how
he's long
big
gone.
Was this gentleman?
Sure he's long gone. He was big.
Yeah.
He was big. Like, you were impressed. Like, oh my God, that guy ripped one.
Yeah.
And it was
but then
the
you saw the guy
sound.
You weren't impressed, though.
It was the perfect sound. Off of that material bench that you're like, of course it's going to.
It was Dolby Surround
check the foundation, the walls and stuff.
Yeah,
as it reverberated down all four halls.
There it is.
Went to the other end and bounced back.
Right.
Through the middle, through that plus.
Mm-hmm. Did you get your hair cut in the mall too? Because we had the pro haircutters, you know, place in the mall. And I used to go there and get my hair cut. And then Claire's Boutique, you go there and get your ear pierced. Did you get your ear pierced at the mall?
Oh, absolutely.
I never did. Never had the ear piercing.
No.
Never did that, but I did get to get my hair cut. Bernadette was my haircut lady. Bernadette! I think she was hot back then. I don't know. I didn't date that hairdresser. She was too old for me at the time.
Was it the early on where these were the, you said it was pro haircuts?
It was called pro haircutters. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it was like, I guess it was like, just like a
sports clips type place before.
Not really. No, it was like, you know, you just walked in, there might have been 20 chairs and it was big, you know, deal. And, you know, most of the time it was like one of those, you'd walk in and you'd get whoever was the next available or whatever to cut your hair. But then you'd find somebody.
So it was a quality place. It wasn't like they stashed the people in the mall who were learning.
No. It wasn't the school rejects.
I just felt like we had a lot of cosmetology colleges back in the day.
Yeah.
And you seemingly were always their test balloon.
Yeah, no, not at this one. No, this was good. Yeah. Lee did a good job of running these. He had two locations that I remember. There was one by the Kmart in one of the strip malls, and then there was one in the big mall. And so you could either go to the Kmart location or you could go to the one in the big mall. But they were always, like, fully staffed. And you're talking about, like when you're a kid, you think everybody's old, right? It felt like everybody was, like, you know, old, man. Like, old Italian guy from Sicily cutting your hair. Old guy from Jersey cutting your hair. Hot lady who was smoking Salems in the parking lot cutting your hair. Like, it was a smorgasbord of hair cutters, right? And so, but you just felt like those people had been there forever, ever in a day. And we went to pro haircutters. I remember we used to go to Bob's Barber Shop, right? And Bob was just a guy in town, had a chair. That was it. It was just Bob. There was nobody else in there. And you go to Bob's barbershop, one guy in the chair, one guy waiting, you could stay. But if there was any more than one guy waiting, it took forever because Bob would talk to you the whole time.
Sure. It was a conversation.
I think Bob was probably running numbers in the back well.
My guy was Leo.
Leo did the same type of thing.
Yeah, Leo, there was Leo spent time. Happening. Leo spent time for running the numbers. Yeah.
Mine was Joe the Barber on Independence Avenue.
So everybody remembers the guy. And then once, like, Bob, it just got to be too much. Like, you wanted to make an appointment. You know, life got busier, right? You can't ride your bike to the barber shop anymore, all that kind of stuff. And so then you progressed on. You're like, wow, this is the big time now. They're going to wash your hair. Bob never washed your hair. You got a cut. You were lucky, right? Here's $5. Take your haircut and go. But
take some cut and some alcohol on the side and you're out.
Yeah, some of that blue stuff that the combs soak in. I think they probably took a nip off of that in the middle of the day.
Some formaldehyde. Go ahead.
Yeah, drink a shot.
That blue stuff ain't legal anymore.
It can't be, right? No, I mean, that
had some kind of, you know, turpentine.
And there's no way that stuff ever got changed out. Like, that blue stuff was in there for decades, right?
It's like the grease at Church's Chicken. It never changes.
Never changes, right? No, yeah. the blue stuff that the combs used to soak in, Barbasol or whatever the hell that was, they never changed that stuff.
No, they
brought it in the first day, and they took it away when Bob died.
Yep. They shipped it off to another barber.
They stored Bob's brain in it.
Yeah, Bob's brain was in it, right? There it is. It's Bob the Barber's brain.
Here we go. Here lies Bob's brain.
All right, we're still going to get to, they missed out on another one, but it's fine because he was expensive.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Don't need that. Next.
The home for Legend Bob.
Legend Bob, he's an expert on rubbing balls.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Don't want to be a player.
I'm not a player. I'm crushing a lot.
Still got what you're looking for.
All right, after the Chiefs didn't get Melvin Ingram to come back, kind of told you the next guy is going to be more expensive. Like, if there is a next guy on the list of the herd of thems, he's going to be more expensive. And Jadeveon Clowney turned out to be more expensive but he stays in Cleveland. Get this, 1 year, $11 million.
That's a lot more than Melvin Ingram got.
I'm not in on that.
No, that's a lot of money, right? That's a big, big chunk of change. And the best part of this story is this came out yesterday. I thought it was really funny. The only reason he's back is because Baker Mayfield isn't. Had Baker Mayfield been back as quarterback, Jadeveon Clowney was not going to go back to the Cleveland Browns. But he's friends with Deshaun Watson. I guess they played together in the past. And so he's excited that he's there, and he's going to go and be a member of the Browns for one more season. And it just takes another herd of them off the list, right? It takes a herd of them off the list. But it doesn't seem like the Chiefs are that aggressive right now in trying to go out there and get somebody
and maybe not
at that
they
defensive
may be fine.
End position. And they may believe internally. Again, what they believe internally is a lot different than what a lot of us believe externally and what we think should be going on with the organization. But you don't hear their name really connected to anybody right now. And I'm fine with not giving Jadeveon Clowney $11 million for, you know, for one season. But if they choose to do so, then they choose to do so. Again, it's their money. But I got to trust Brett Veach right now. If he feels like they're okay at that position and feels fine and comfortable at that position, maybe they are. Maybe there's somebody internally we just don't know about right now.
And your price could be your price too, right? I mean, you know, I'm in on every 1 for 5, 1 for 4, 1 for 5.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm not in on 1 for 11.
1 for 11? No, we'll take a pass on that one.
So
yeah.
They were like, not so much. Mm-hmm. And then Clowney, hey, he had 9 sacks opposite Myles Garrett. Like, okay,
yeah,
I got a good player on the other side that helps me out.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that in Kansas City?
Well, you don't know yet with George Karlaftis, and you don't think so with Frank Clark, right? So is Jadeveon Clowney going to come here and produce?
Although maybe Frank holds the edge, and then he gets
He gets the sack, yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, it definitely feels like the Chiefs are in the – they're just going to be patient. If something falls in their lap, if someone still gets cut in June,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk. But they're not seemingly, overtly bending over backwards to go, oh, I got to get the next guy.
Right.
Because we lost Melvin Ingram. I didn't expect him to necessarily be in that camp, but this is another one off the list. Like a guy you've heard of that's had some production, but he's making more than, and the Melvin Ingram numbers have been kind of weird too. Like, it's 5 maybe, but maybe it's not 5. And there seems to be some nuances with that one that are beyond me, that the Chiefs and Dolphins were about in the same range, but it wasn't a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
This was a little bit more money.
Yeah, twice as much, roughly.
So I'm like, 1 for 11. Okay, I can see how you'd just go ahead and pass there. Yeah. Guy'd be on his, 5th team or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he can stay on his 4th.
And maybe he wants to stay. You know, again, he's got his friend Deshaun Watson now playing quarterback there, so it's an enticing place to be. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're dealing with the kids right now. You can go play club sports, or you can kind of just hang out and be with your friends and play together with your friends and enjoy being a kid. I think what we're looking at right now is that Jadeveon Clowney wants to play with his friend for a year and has the opportunity to play with Deshaun Watson. He only may play 7 or 8 games, but I mean, you got the opportunity to be in the same locker room or none game, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's what he wanted to do. So there are some things that the Chiefs, as good as they are as an organization, can't deliver on for some, you know, free agents. And if he wanted to play with Deshaun Watson, that's his guy, like playing with him. There's nothing the Chiefs can do. So, literally nothing they can do in that situation.
You can move down the list. You can continue to keep contact with some of these other guys and see what the price is a little bit later even.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go right
and
now.
And see, that's the other thing too. I mean, we're getting ready to start OTAs this week, right? I think the Chiefs go Wednesday and Thursday this week. A lot of teams OTA'd last week. Some will OTA this week. I don't know how you view your OTA viewing experience, but I think once we get through the OTAs and, you know, you kind of start to get to June, and then June trickles into July and training camp, there's going to be a lot of these dudes that are still free agents then, Josh, that are going to be looking for a place to go to. And only at that point in time, as we get closer and closer, you know, to the start of the season, the more available these guys are going to be and the less they're going to take, because they're just looking now for a check. Are you willing to come here on a 1 year, $2 million deal, or are you willing to sit out and do nothing all year? And so I think there's going to be a bargain to be had potentially later in the summer as we get closer and closer to training camp. And then there's, you know, once training camp starts, guys are going to be cut again as well. And then we still got the June 1st cuts that are going to happen in a week or so. So I just don't think it's panic time right now at that defensive end spot. It doesn't seem like the Chiefs are panicking at that spot at all.
Nope. So there's in a different game. I'm not saying you do panic and grab somebody before it's gone.
Right.
But
no,
I'm curious to see the price tags that happen, and already one is higher than Melvin was.
So correct.
Your replacement your replacement piece is is going to cost you a little more if you choose to do it.
And there's the Cleveland tax as well. I mean, it is Cleveland. You got to pay people to be there. And as much as you want to play with Deshaun Watson, I got a price to I gotta go back to Cleveland, right? And if you give me $11 million, fine, I'll come back to Cleveland.
Why was CEH on your brain?
I don't know. I was you know, traveling yesterday, and I was thinking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I'm just kind of reading stuff all over the internet about the NFL and what people are doing. And for whatever reason, Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes to my mind. I can't explain a lot. Why did I call the Royals Hickory Farms? I mean, well, how do I come up with this kind of stuff, right? I don't know how my brain operates at times. But I think with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think this is it right now for him to have that legit year. He needs, in my opinion, to have a big year in order to justify going forward with him in that number one, that fifth year option. And number two, this is a message to the Chiefs. Never draft a running back again in the first round, because no matter what he does going forward, it still doesn't make up for the first round draft pick that you took on him back in 2020. I just feel like this is the year for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This is a make it or break it year for CEH. I need to see legit consistent, I guess not legit, because we've seen some legit production, but consistent production out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I need to see him be in there for 17 games. I need to see him produce for 17 games. And quite frankly, I still want to see that big moment where he's in that screen game, and now we got this young offensive line that can get out and do some things. I want to see that be a big part of this offense this year. And I think, you know, with the differing wide receivers that we have and the different style of offense we may be seeing out at Arrowhead this year, I want to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire really involved in that screen game and really get that offensive line involved. So I just think this is a big year for him. I think it's a make it or break it type season for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think it's also just kind of proof that the Chiefs just don't need to go out and invest big time draft capital or money in the running back position, because they get it from other guys that are out there right now. So I think it's time for him to step up, man. Stay healthy, stay fresh, and go out there and produce like we expected coming out of LSU.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice. You know, for me, I just don't think it's ever going to live up to the draft spot, and that's okay.
Yeah, it never will. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the camp of re-signing a guy at the end. So, give me your production while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And make it okay.
I mean, you're already out of the re-signing this guy.
Oh, yeah.
That ship has sailed for me, too.
Any running back.
I would have been that way anyway, though.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, for whatever reason, I guess maybe he was on my mind because we were talking about, McCaffrey at Carolina and what he's done since he came on Cody and Gold during the Tyrann Mathieu telethon and said, I think these people are telling you running backs always get hurt and are overrated is wrong. And he's played half the amount of games since then, right? Maybe I was thinking about him, whatever the case may be, the rumors about him being traded out there. This running back position in the NFL right now is like the most exciting position for fans to talk about, but the least exciting, in my opinion, to invest big money in, because you just never get your return on investment.
The problem is, if they perform, you're tantalized.
Well, you're tantalized. Yeah, you're right.
And so there's a part of me that you're not really rooting against, but you're like tempering success. Like, I don't need you to be Ezekiel Elliott.
No, don't have to be Ezekiel Elliott.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't want you to be in the camp where I go, damn, I'd hate if that guy got away.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to be in that spot. I don't think that the running back is heavily used in this offense. I just don't think that it makes sense for this offense either, mm-hmm. specifically, right? I want production out of it. I want to throw screens. I want to have a competent run game and better than they've had in the run game department. But in my heart of hearts, I know they're not going to use it a massive amount. So I don't need a top tier running back.
You don't, no.
And if he performs, you know, up to the, you know, a level where you're like, okay, that's a competent running back. I don't want them to fall in love and go, okay, then I need to break the bank on a second contract for a running back. I don't think they should ever be in that camp. With this, I think some teams can. This one doesn't make sense to. The way you run offense doesn't lend itself to having a big time money running back. It's churn and burn running backs.
It really is. And that's why, again, this a first round draft pick, though, to me is a big money running back, right? And again, they were picking 32. They won the Super Bowl. What are you going to draft at that point in time, right? You really had no hole, and, you know, it looked like a fun toy basically to have a neat new running back, you know, in this offense, and seeing the things that he was capable of doing, and, you know, in college, like, wow, if he could do that in the NFL, how great that would be. But I think this is a learning moment for Brett Veach and Andy Reid in Kansas City more than anything, is that stop drafting running backs. Just stop. I mean, there's just no reason. I would have rather have taken a defensive end at this point in time, right? You look at it right now. Maybe we would have liked a better defensive end at this point in time, or a defensive tackle at this point in time, instead of, you know, just going out there, what the heck, we'll take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think it's a good message for everybody.
We're saying if he's in year four and is like 1,500 yards rushing, there's going to be the push to re-sign him.
But there's not. No.
You know what I mean?
We got to quell that, right?
You know what I mean? It's like I'm not rooting against the position, but I kind of root against the position.
Right.
Because I don't think they're going to fully use it. I think they could do it by committee. If you have one guy that's the horse and suddenly in year four and you're considering, do I pick up the fifth year option and do I pay him another contract? I don't really want to be in that camp where it looks enticing.
Right.
So I guess I am rooting against
him. So you're rooting against him right now.
I'm rooting for running back by committee.
Yeah. But you have to look at it right now and say, here's the deal. We're not going forward. We're not signing this guy to a long-term deal. We're not signing anybody. Like, you almost have to make it like an organizational philosophy of saying, hey, look, we're going to get some running backs in here, and if they're good, that's fantastic, but we are going to run them into the ground, and once they reach the end of their contract, they are gone, and we're going to get the new guy, and we're going to do the same and move on.
Hey, it's going to be hard. At the end of 4 years, he's going to be 24.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And
enjoy
in year
life,
five,
man.
He's going to be 25.
Right, yeah, very young. But still, I mean.
But it's running back.
It's a running back. Yeah. And the minute you think that this guy is different, or this guy's not going to get injured, or this guy's not going to get worn down, they're gone. Who was the guy whose knee was shot for the Rams a couple of years ago?
Todd Gurley.
Yeah. Right, Todd Gurley was going to be the next great thing. When was the last time we heard from Todd Gurley? I mean, he was injured during their first Super Bowl year, which is, 2018, and then went to the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Todd Gurley, you don't even hear from anymore. He's not even in the NFL, I would imagine, right? Like, Todd Gurley, that's prime example of what happens to running backs, and it literally does happen overnight. The next day, they're going strong. The next day, they're gone. They disappeared. It is the most overvalued and talked about position in the NFL, maybe even in sports. As valuable as important it is to pay your quarterback, it's the exact same thing from a least valuable thing to pay a running back.
Big Ben is finding out he's no Brady or Peyton. We'll explain next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold you back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. Funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears and wants control.
If you can still play, I say play. If some team wants to sign you, go ahead and play. Like, don't ever retire.
Take your check as long as they still come,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that goes for just about every position. And I'll say that to Ben Roethlisberger. If somebody else wants you, go.
Who's calling?
That is a very valid question.
Did you get a call about him?
This has been bounced around like Pittsburgh for a little while. Last week, it was one of the reporters from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette had mentioned that there was bad blood. He was responding like a mailbag kind of thing.
Yep.
And said, there was tension between the Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And somebody asked him about it, and the reporter responded back, I would say that's very safe to assume that. There's tension. Okay, well. And then another publication picked up and said that Ben Roethlisberger believes he can still play.
Does he watch the game film?
But instead of unretiring like Tom Brady in Tampa, Roethlisberger knows the Steelers don't want him back and are moving on without him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he appeared on a radio station in Pittsburgh and said, well, first off, my coach and my GM don't want me back. Okay, well, why don't you go see if some other team does?
Right. And
I think you're going to find out if you're Ben that you're done.
Yeah, nobody wants you back.
But maybe you need to experience that too. and not be bitter at an organization that seemingly kept you on for probably 2 years, one year for sure too long.
Right.
Probably about a year and a half too long.
And really went to bat for you because at the beginning of your career, you're kind of scummy. I mean, you were in some trouble at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, they buried some bodies for you at the beginning of your career.
They did. They absolutely did that.
You were a menace off the field.
Right, exactly. They did all that.
Not a good dude.
And they help you kind of change your image of who you are, even though there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh who still think he's slimy and always will be for that alleged stuff that happened before, a decade ago or whatever it was. I mean, that's you are your past at times, right? And that's Ben Roethlisberger. So I don't like the fact that he's out there criticizing an organization that truly did go to bat for him for all these years and always put him in a great position to be successful. Ben Roethlisberger was never on a losing team ever in Pittsburgh, and they always surrounded him with good talent. They consistently made it into the postseason. He went to a couple of Super Bowls there with Pittsburgh. Like, I got to be honest with you, Josh, this is the last guy who should be bad-mouthing anybody the way out the door in Pittsburgh. He should be gratefully thanking everybody for sticking by him and giving him the opportunity to win every year. Any quarterback in the NFL would love to have the situation of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because as we talk about all the time, how many teams fail the quarterback as opposed to the quarterback failing the team? The Pittsburgh Steelers never failed the quarterback. They worked in concert together with Ben Roethlisberger to make each other better, and they had a good thing going for two decades. The hardest thing for an athlete to realize is when it's over, and it always comes from everybody else telling them that it's over, and they still don't want to realize that it's over. But if Ben Roethlisberger goes back and watches any game from last season, just pick one, from last season, and you were there on the field for that final game that he had here in Kansas City. And that's the one thing that you say, you like texting me during the game, this is embarrassing. Like, I'm sad for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I'm like,
he had a nice
career. And it's just gone.
Just go out now, man. Like, but just be done and go out. Because if he goes somewhere else, he's going to be like Joe Namath was when he went out to the L.A. Rams, or Emmitt Smith with the Arizona Cardinals. You go, God, it's hard to watch this guy. And it kind of ruins like that image.
Well,
just go away.
It's bad when Peyton Manning goes on and has a championship, and Tom Brady goes on and plays well. They're all going to think they're that.
They are, but they're not.
They're not. But maybe Ben needs to go try.
But I never thought.
If he needs to go try and then see that he can't play in this instance, maybe that's what he needs. You play your entire career for an organization, and you'd love to just walk out and then be their hero and never buy the drink and do all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. If it's gone down a little sour, that's too bad. But also, if you think you can still play, then go prove it.
But
and,
Josh,
if you prove them wrong, you win. If you find that nobody wants you, or you go play and you play badly, then, you know, it was the ending. But it feels like Ben Roethlisberger's, just according to reports, a little unfulfilled. So go find out.
Let's see about his era of quarterbacks and how it all ended with Tom Brady, with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Eli was in the same draft class as Ben Roethlisberger was that year. Philip Rivers in that same type of draft class. It didn't end in a storybook ending, really, for any of them with their original teams, right? New England was done with Tom Brady, and I never thought Tom Brady was done, though. He never looked like he was done. Peyton Manning, they were done with him in Indianapolis. I never thought, other than the neck thing, I never thought like he was done. Like, he never looked bad out there on the field until the end in Denver, and, the Chiefs picked him off seven times and essentially ended his career out there. That's when he looked like he was done. But I didn't think he was done in Indianapolis. He had a couple of more years to go. Phillip Rivers, done in...
Well, if the medicals checked out.
Yeah.
If he were healthy... But that was the big question.
When he
moved on, like, is he ever really healthy? Mm-hmm. Is he going to play, or is this going to be he's going to give it a try and he's going to be injured? There were questions about that. There were questions about Brady, too. I mean, people were waiting for Brady to collapse when he went to Tampa,
but
right?
He didn't.
That's kind of ruined it for these other guys, though.
Right.
Right?
It has. But
and Peyton would be to that extent, too, because he still went and had, 50-some touchdowns or whatever, and then he has a title
Super
to go
Bowl.
With it.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue against, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So all these guys are going to think they're in that mode. I would say, Ben, go give it a try. See if there's any takers. I don't know if there will be.
Yeah.
And then if you got something you think you need to go prove, I guess go prove it for yourself, because it doesn't sound like that it's sitting well just to sit and be mad at the Steelers.
So, but what I'm getting at is that, like, all those quarterbacks that were in his peer group, it didn't end well with their original teams. The Patriots, the Colts, the Giants, and the Chargers. They all jettisoned their quarterback. Now, the Eli Manning thing, he never went on and played anywhere. He was done. He realized it was over for him, but they were putting Daniel Jones in, and that guy in the bad suit was pulling him after 200 consecutive. Like, it was a mess with the end of Eli Manning. It was a mess with the end of Tom Brady. It was a mess with the end of Peyton Manning, and it was a mess with the end of Philip Rivers out in, with the Chargers. They were done with him. Like, please get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. We're ready to move on. And that's where Pittsburgh is right now. They're ready to move on from Yukon Corneliuson. And they, not that Mitchell Trubisky is the heir apparent or anything like that, but could be a nice bridge guy for Kenny Pickett. And they're ready to see what they have in this new guy, because they feel like there's more potential with either one of those quarterbacks than there is with Ben Roethlisberger. And you're right. If you feel like you can still play, there's a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback. Seattle needs a quarterback. Carolina needs a quarterback. Go out there. But nobody's calling.
I can't imagine anybody's going to call.
I think Baker Mayfield is probably higher on the list of teams that are going to call and want them as their quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger is right now.
And nobody's calling about him either.
I saw something today that Seattle and Carolina are still very still much inquired. Interested,
they're still
but they don't want to pay
Steelers.
The money.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
Cleveland's going to have to eat like half his money to send him on his way. And it's probably time that they just do that, because whatever that cloud is that's hanging over there.
Need a quarterback.
They may need a quarterback. And then and that's what they're looking
fair,
at, too, which is not fair to Baker, right?
Not
and if
all.
I'm Baker, I go out there and throw three interceptions.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.